I think the theme of the church in 2017 is going to be hearing the voice of God and understanding the love of God. So we're really going to give you a heavy dose of that this year. I wish that the teaching I have tonight, I wish I would have taught it before I started teaching on hearing the voice of God. And you'll see why in a few minutes. But we're going to have another immersion rally sometime in the second quarter of 17. And we're going to teach on this book here. And if you haven't read this book will change your life. It's called Crazy Love by Francis Chan. This guy gets it. Now, you're going to find some things that you've never heard before. This is not church as usual. But this is the authentic love that God has for the church. And so if you can pick this book up, I would ask you to begin to read it. I have read this thing twice. I don't see Ricardo and his wife, but we're he, myself, and two other guys. We're going through this book every Thursday morning, and it is eye-opening. But again, you're going to learn things in this book that you're not going to hear in most churches, okay? If we could get this guy to come to Houston, I promise you, you would never be the same again. Okay? Yeah. Francis Chan. FRANCISCHAN. And Francis Chan is one of the guys that began to state that your ministry is before your own family. Now, the traditional church doesn't teach that. Don't shout me down. We tend to forget some of these verses. Jesus said, if you love your father, your brother, your sister, or yourself more than me, you can't be my disciple. That would include your ministry. Don't shout me down now when I'm preaching real good. And the thing is that what he'll teach in this book is that you shouldn't idolize your wife and your wife shouldn't idolize you. You ought to be idolizing Jesus. Amen. Don't shout me down now. But that's just, this is why we have so much problem in the church, because we got it wrong. So let me begin tonight and get out your business. All right. What is our destination? Our destination is to be able to hear Jesus. Amen? Yeah. And I believe tonight this teaching is going to point you to the one that is not just your Savior. It's not just the one that's sovereign, but also the one who is willing to commune with us. There is no greater need or desire among the church today than to be able to hear Jesus, to hear him in your heart, which will in turn lead to the simplicity of loving and adoring him for simply who he is. So over these next several moments, I'm going to try to hit this real fast. Jesus said these words, he is the way, the truth, and the life. He says he is the only way to the Father. There may be many paths. I know of I've listened to this well-known talk show host, and they always say that there's many paths to God. Well, there may be many paths to God, but there's one way, and his name is Jesus. And if you're going to get to God, you better go through Jesus. I don't care what path you get on, but there's only one way, okay? And that's in John chapter 14. Even today, he is still the way. No matter how much we have strayed from the truth, he is nonetheless the way. If you were to ask Jesus, what is the most important thing God asked of us? What would you say? What would you think Jesus would say is the most important thing that God would ask of us? I believe his answer would be, yes, it's how much we love him, but his answer would be your relationship with him. And that stems from your love walk with him. And we strayed away from that. We've gotten to have a love relationship with the Word. Our love relationship is not with the Word. Our relationship is with Jesus. Don't shout me down now. God has given us a new nature at our new birth. And it allows us to give ourselves to agape love. And when he and the Father looks for those believers who will mature to the point where his love is manifested and flows in and out of your life. This is the problem with the church today. The love of God, it flows in, but it doesn't flow out. Love, I'm going to teach you in a minute. Love is your most lethal weapon in the kingdom of God. Tell me this. How many black eyes did Jesus give? How many people did he beat down? What did he use as his most powerful weapon? Love. And the church, we've moved so far from that. And I'm preaching to myself now. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself. Amen. Let's talk about the greatest commandment. If you have your Bibles, I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to reference it. Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to cover the portion of scripture in 34 and 40. And I'm just going to set it up. This period of time was the last week of Jesus' ministry on the earth. And he's teaching, man. He's getting after it. And the religious leaders were there, and they were trying to trip him up. They were trying to get him to walk off into something and say something where they could go, ah, we got you now. See, that's what most people that are lukewarm, that's what they always try to do. When you're on fire for God, they're always trying to find a way. You're just too excited. No, you need to get excited. You need to get excited. The posture in the church is not lukewarm. The posture in the church, according to Jesus Christ, is to be hot. Why? If you're lukewarm, what will he do? He's going to spit you out of his mouth. He doesn't want you. He'd rather you hot or cold. And trust me, you don't want to be cold, because eternity will be very hot for you. I'm sorry. Some of you get that on the way home, I guess, huh? Well, praise the Lord. But when he's talking to these guys, a lawyer steps up and says, Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? Now, if you ask Jesus, which is the greatest commandment, you're probably going to be like these fellas. You're probably going to think that he's going to go, well, the first one, what's the first commandment? Honor thy father and thy mother. But what is the first commandment? Remember, Jesus has not gone to the cross. We don't have a New Testament. All we have is just the Old Testament. Primarily the first five books is what they had, what they studied. So what do you think Jesus would have told them? They were expecting to hear what? They were expecting to hear, well, you know, this is the first commandment, the second commandment, da 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 da. But Jesus said these words to them. He says, the greatest commandment, the first and the great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now, where do you think he got that from? Do you think he just got it on the spur of the moment? Actually, he's quoting the Old Testament. He's quoting the Old Testament, and we're going to get to that here in a minute. But the thing is this, he says, and on these two commandments, he says, hangs all the law and the prophet. In other words, he's saying, everything that you've seen in the past and everything that's going to happen in the future rest on these two commandments. So the greatest commandment is what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Now, let me ask you a question. Does that mean to love your neighbor with all your heart, with all your soul? But it's not the premier thing. See, many of us love our ministries with all our heart and with all our soul. Many of us love our jobs with all of our heart and with all of our soul. Usually it's whatever you need is what you love the most. But Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And without any hesitation, he just said that. It was on the tip of his tongue. Now, in the Ten Commandments, or the laws, there were actually 613 laws. And the religious leaders of that day had divided up these laws into what we would call do's and don'ts. See, I thought when I first got born again, that was Christianity. It was a bunch of do's and don'ts. My mama told me you can't dance. Her favorite saying, well, the praying knee and a dancing foot don't belong on the same leg. So we as Baptists, we couldn't dance. But I want you to know, as I got out a little later, I began to dance. Hallelujah. But the point is this. We have made church into a bunch of do's and don'ts. And that's not Christianity. And the thing is that that's what the religious leaders of that day, they made their law into do's and don'ts. But the thing is this. We, the church, have done the same thing with the New Testament. You see, we broke the New Testament down into three categories. We say this. It's civil, it's ceremonial, and it's moral. In fact, we think the New Testament is kind of like a cafeteria. We get the New Testament out, and we say, well, I want some of that. I don't want no tongues. I don't want no prophecy. No, I don't want any of that correction. I don't want any of that. Oh yeah, all this money and all this prosperity, I want a whole bunch of that. I want all my needs met. But the law and the New Testament was given as one unit. It is not to be fragmented. And what is that? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Now, I'm going to get in your business here in a minute. The thing is, how do you know when you love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul? You're making this much too difficult. What's the second commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. If you can't love your neighbor, you can't say you love the Lord thy God. Don't shout me down now. John said it this way, how can you love your brother? How can you hate your brother who you have seen and love God who you have not seen? No, what's happening is this. Many of us got a heavy dose of religion. It's not the love of God. It's not the love of God. So we need to find out what it really is, and we're going to spend some time in 17 really going over these scriptures and making sure we understand what the love of God is. The love of God is a decision. It's a choice that I make to love you unconditionally. Not for what you can do for me, but because God loved me first. Amen? That's the love of God. It doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what your nationality is. I love you because God loved me first. And I'm supposed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, all my soul. My love is not fragmented. I don't have a love that goes to God and a love that goes to you. The same love I love God with, guess what? It's the same love I love you with. And if you get on my nerves and make me mad, if you drive me up a wall, guess what? I have to ask myself, do I really love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all my soul? Boy, y'all looking around like, what in the world? But this is, I get it. We come to the Word of God in order to have our needs met rather than to simply know a person. The scriptures were given to introduce us to a person. That person is Jesus. So that we may know him and enter into a relationship with him by faith, and that we may grow in grace and knowledge of who he is. Jesus said this, these words testify of me. The New Testament testifies of who Jesus is. The New Testament is just simply explaining to you the characteristics of who Jesus is. Now, in Matthew 22, the lawyer asked Jesus what was the most important thing. And Jesus said what? To love the Lord thy God with all thy might and all thy soul. Now, where I want to go with this now is, where did Jesus get this? Because I guarantee you, I would have thought if I were standing there, he's going to go over the law that he gave in Exodus 20. But what Jesus was doing was this when he gave the Ten Commandments. Do you really know what he was telling the Jewish nation? He was simply summarizing the law and the entire Word of God. He is saying the first priority is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Now, excuse me, I think I missed something here. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I think it's verse 5. And there you will see where Jesus, where it's written, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Now, the thing is, before I finish tonight, I'm going to tell you why God said that. I'm going to tell you why God said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Now, let me ask you a question. Why didn't it say you are to obey the Lord your God? Why did it say that? Well, I'll give you a little hint. What you love is what you will obey. See, this is why Jesus said in the New Testament, if you love your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, if you love your own life more than me, you can't be my disciple. Why is he saying that? He's saying if you love them, you'll do what they say and not what I say. You have to love him. It's not just merely obeying him. Now, obeying him is good, but if you love him, you're going to obey him. But the key here is that we are to make loving him a priority. Now, in the church, what we've done is we said, I've got to love my neighbor. I got to love my sister. And in some circles, they make it a big thing. You got to love people. You got to love people. Here's the reason why they don't love people. Here's the reason why our love is short-circuited, because we first haven't learned how to love God. And tonight I want us to understand what it means to love God. Until we understand what it means to love God, I mean to know that he loves us. And then when we understand how much he loves us, now we will have developed the capacity to do what? Allow that love to flow out of us. That's where we're headed. That's our destination. That's why we want to make loving him the first priority and not loving our neighbors a first priority. See, just because I know Robert's a good man, that's not enough for me to love him. Because why? If he's a good man, there may be a time he ain't a good man. Don't shout me down now. Those who know that you've been married for a while, some days is good. Some days ain't. Amen? Don't look at me so sanctified. Don't look at me so sanctified. You know what's going on. So the thing is this, he's saying, quit trying to love your wife first, quit trying to love your husband first, quit trying to love your kids first, and learn to love me. Because when you get full of me knowing how much I love you, and you love me, then you'll have the capacity to do what? You'll love everybody else. And the thing is this, you won't have the kind of love that's kind of warped. You won't love them when everything's going good and hate them when everything's going bad. You'll love them. You'll love them unconditionally. Does it make any sense to you? Yes. Makes a whole lot of sense to me, man. When I first read this, I said, God, I don't want to teach this. He said, well, that's what we're teaching. I said, okay. Just want to tell you, ouch, before I finish it. This is getting on my case. But folks, if God doesn't move in your midst to get you to change, you really haven't had church. If I don't challenge you, why are you coming? You should be, you ought to leave here and going, I'm going to put what he said into practice, and I'm going to find out how to get that done. That's when the Holy Spirit begins to release the power inside of him and begins to have you do things beyond that you could ever think you could do. Amen. You'll begin to love people that you didn't think you could ever love. Because why? As long as you're trying to love them with phileo love, you're never going to love them to the fullest degree. You're always going to have it conditionally. I mean, you may go, I'm putting up with them. I'm putting up with them. I'm putting up with them. And then one day, I've had it with you. Isn't that way it goes? Is that what God, is that how God treats us? No, he doesn't treat us that way. We may act that way toward him, but he never acts that way toward us. So at this point in time, you may say, well, what does loving God have to do with hearing the voice of God? Can anybody figure that one out? What does loving God have to do with hearing God? Well, you're in the airport, but I want to come to the terminal. Let's get on to the terminal. Never put anything before him. If I love him, I'm going to obey him. If I love him, I'm going to hear him. This is why I wished I would have taught this message before I taught hearing the voice of God. When I learned to love God, I promise you, you can't love somebody if you ain't spending time with them. I don't care who it is. If you say you love somebody who you've never met, you don't have a clue about that person. I always tell people, you know, make sure you know the person you're going to marry. Because when you marry them and you get home, off comes the hair, off comes the eyelids, off comes the, out go the teeth, okay? the fingernails come off, you know, the head starts spinning around, green stuff starts coming up, and you ask yourself, what have I done? Too late now. It's too late. He done said, I do. But the thing is that you want to spend time with somebody. You want to spend time with them. And the reason that people don't love God the way they should love God is because they don't spend time with him.
Amen.
It's about fellowship. It's about relationship. And if you spend time with God, you will develop a relationship with him. And once you develop that relationship, because you love him, hearing his voice and obeying him, it's really just falls into place. You love being around him. But let me ask you a question. Do you want to hear God because of what he can give you? Do you want to hear God so he can help you fix your problem? Why do you want to hear from God? See what I'm saying? If you love him because of what he can give you, is your love motive pure or is it tainted? Mm-mm. So you can't love him because you just can't want to be around him so you can hear his voice. You got to want to be around him because you love him. Because he's going to tell you some things that you're not doing right. Oh, yeah, you didn't hear that. He's going to tell you some things he wants you to change. And you're going to think he's on my case. Well, remember what he says in Hebrews. Whom a father loves, he what? He chastens. And if a child doesn't accept the correction of his father, what does he call that son? I ain't going there with the B word. But you know what he calls you. He calls you a fatherless child. And he uses the B word in his word. Okay? Illegitimate son. So the thing is this, when you begin to love him, he's going to commune with you. He's going to start telling you things. He's going to start showing you things. He's going to start correcting you. He's going to start admonishing you. He's going to start saying how proud he is of you, how pleased he is at you, I guess I should say.
Amen.
But he's also going to tell you some things he doesn't like about you.
That's right.
And if you don't love him, guess what you'll do? You'll turn the channel.
Mm-hmm.
You're going something different.
Yes.
Now let me ask you a question. How does he know you have the capacity to love him? Huh? How does he know that you have the capacity to love him? Well, let's talk about his spirit. Let's talk about the nature that he gave you when you got born again. What is the first fruit of the spirit? Let me ask you a question. Does God have love? God is love. So let me ask you a question. At the essence core of who God is, he is what?
Love.
He is love. So at the essence of your core, who are you?
Love.
So why don't we act more like it? Ouch. Don't shout me down now. Ouch. Why aren't we acting like it? Because we really don't understand what love is. We haven't spent time with the lover. We haven't spent time at his feet. We haven't spent time fellowshipping with him. We've been trying to obey him. We've been trying to get him to do things for us. We've been trying to get him to give us things. We've been trying to get him to help us solve our problems. But we haven't spent the time to love on him like we should. See, the thing is, well, when you love somebody, you'll trust them, won't you? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been in a long-distance relationship with someone? Well, I can tell you this, it ain't fun. Nobody likes them. Why? Because you want to see the person that you love. I mean, you don't mind reading the letters and hearing the voice from the phone, but there comes a point in time when you really want to be with that person. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the thing is this. Jesus can be as real to you as I am tonight.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit can be as real to you as I am tonight. But the thing is, you've got to spend some time in allowing him to flood your unrenewed mind and let you know that he is real. Because your unrenewed mind will tell you that he is not. Again, I talked about Jesus quoting from the Old Testament. So again, what is our motive? Our motive has to have the correct foundation. Our foundation should be to love him with all of our hearts first. My love for him is the very foundation of every relationship that I have. If I as a Christian love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind, I will love my wife. I will love my neighbor. I will love my enemy.
Amen.
Pastor, did you really say love your enemy? I sure did. The Bible tells you to bless those that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. When they slap you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. Now, many of you are going, I do what? You know why you say it like that? Because you don't walk in the God kind of love. And you're being challenged right now. And I realize you're not going to walk out of here at the end of this message and going, man, I'm going to walk in love. Well, what you're going to walk in, you're going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you're going to read that love chapter, and you're going to try to walk in those attributes. And let me say this, you won't walk in them. You won't walk in them. You'll attempt to walk in them, but you won't walk in them. In other words, if I have an apple tree up here, and I took all the apples off, and I went and got me some oranges, and I taped some oranges on the apple tree, what's going to happen to the oranges? They're going to die and dry up. Why? Because apple trees produce apples. You're going to produce what's on the inside of you. Can a brook bring forth both bitter and sweet waters? It's what James asked the question. Okay? Can a brook bring forth both bitter and sweet waters? Where did the bitter water come from, Brother Craig? It was there all along. The bitter water was always there. It's just you never got rid of it. The sweet water is not going to come out because the bitter water is going to come out when the pressure is on. When the pressure is on, the bitter is going to come out. Why? Because you haven't learned how to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. The basis of the whole Christian life is loving the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. Let me ask you a question. Why do you read your Bible? Check. I've done my duty, God. Check. They say to read your Bible every day. Check. I've read my Bible. Why do you go to church on Sunday? Check. See, your motive is wrong. You go to church because you love Him. You read the Word because you love Him. You pray in the Spirit because you love Him.
Amen.
Now, I'm not trying to say, although I wish I could say it that way, if you don't pray in tongues, you don't love Him. I'm not saying that. Although I'm kind of saying it a little way, but I ain't saying that. Why do I search scriptures on wisdom? Why do I look for scriptures on all the other topics? Because I'm trying to find a way to love God. But before I can truly understand the wisdom of God, I got to first learn how to love Him. Just because you're sitting in a Bible study don't make you a bona fide red hot Christian any more than me sitting in your garage makes me your Ferrari that you've been wanting. It just don't happen that way. You've got to be changed from the inside. Now get this. If you love someone, you want to be with them. When we love someone, we want to read about them or read their letters. We want to know their heart and their minds. We meet with the Lord in what we would call quiet time. It should be because we love Him, because we want to be with Him. We want to be just like Him, not because of what we can get from Him. Many folks say, well, Pastor, I'm going to get up and pray in tongues. And they'll come to me and say, Pastor, I've been praying in tongues for 2 months. Ain't nothing happening. Well, what did you expect to happen? I expected Jesus to ride in on a white silver stallion or a white stallion and go, hi, old silver, here's your $1 million. Be blessed. That's not what He does. You're praying in tongues to get something. You're praying in tongues to be changed. See, our motives are all wrong. I'm coming to a Bible study so God can see that I'm serious about Him. You got it wrong. You come to the Bible study because you love Him and you want to learn more about Him. That's why you come to the Bible study. Now, depending upon if your love is sincere or not, you go to any old Bible study. As long as they say Jesus every now and then, you're happy and content. But the thing is this, your love for Him won't grow. Let me give you a scenario. You want to put it to the test? That door swings open. 10 guys walk in with MK-47, what do they call them? Yeah. MK-47. And they say, all of y'all that are born again child of God, get on your knees. Those of you that renounce Jesus, better get out now because they're killing everybody left. How many of you would leave? Don't answer that question. You'd be surprised. I know a guy named Jesse Duplantis. How many know who he is? He's been on an airplane, sitting next to nuns. Plane goes into all this turbulence. Plane starts going down. He said the most vile stuff came out of them nuns' mouth. Can a brook bring forth both bitter and sweet waters? Then why is our brook bringing forth both bitter and sweet waters? Because we don't love him. We haven't learned to love him. We've got one foot in the world. We got one foot in church. And we're thinking, God, I want you, but I want my life the way it always was. You can't have it that way, darling. It ain't going to work. You got to be all in. You got to be sold out. You got to give everything up the world could offer you. You got to give it all away. Amen. You got to let it all go.
Amen.
Yeah, but can I hold on to a few things? Well, let me put it like this. There was a friend of mine once. He loved, Bad Company music. Dum, 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 Bad Company. Remember that song? That was his thing. He loved that kind of music, man. And God says, listen, you got to get rid of all that. He was like, get rid of it. He goes, you got to get rid of all of it. Why? If you love me, you'll do what I ask you to do. And God asked him, will you get rid of it from me? Boy, he got rid of it. 10 years later, man, he's sitting at home. And Jesus said, you can go back and get your Bad Company albums. He goes, say what? Say, yeah, you can listen to it now. Because you can listen to it and won't have you. You can listen to it and enjoy it, but you'll still love me.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with that. God doesn't care the things that you have. He just wants to make sure you love him first and foremost.
Amen.
God doesn't mind you having a nice car. God doesn't mind you having all the nice clothes that money can buy. He doesn't have a problem with that. But he knows that what comes along with that is a thing called pride. A thing called, I think I'm better than you. And the thing is this, if you can have the clothes and leave the pride aside, he's okay with that. But if you want the pride and the clothes and then have God too, they don't work. They don't work. Because one day, all that money is going to say, hey, where you going? Well, I'm going to go love on God. I'm going to go pray. Oh, you can pray in tongues any other time. Let's go play golf. We got these brand new clubs, cost $3,000. Let's go play golf with these clubs, man. You go, yeah, God, I'll get with you later. Next time you get up, the Ferrari says, hey, we ain't been out for a drive. I can go 100 plus miles an hour. You know you like to ride that way. Come on. No, I'm going to go spend some time with God. You can spend time with God later, man. Come on, let's go for a ride. Yeah, God, I'll get with you later. You see where I'm going with this? After a while, the thing has drug you away from God, but I thought you loved God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. See, if you love God that much, you would tell the thing, shut up. And if you keep talking, I'm going to get rid of you. And I'll get another one when I can love God before I love you. Because that's all that is. You're loving the thing. You're not loving God. Am I making sense tonight? The thing is if we don't want to love God for what he can do for us, we want to love God for who he is.
Amen.
The reason I pray, the reason I fast, the reason I do private worship, the reason I do all those disciplines is not because I think God's going to give me something, but I think God's going to invade my heart and he's going to begin to change me. And then when I'm changed and look like Christ, then all of a sudden those things are drawn to me that I need.
Amen.
I don't have to beg for them.
Amen.
How many times do you think Jesus said, man, I got holes in my sandals. I hope the Father can send me a pair of new sandals. I guarantee you, he never worried about that stuff. He dressed, matter of fact, the clothes that he wore when he died, they gambled for those clothes, man. That boy went to the cross in style. He didn't go there in no rags. He went in style. The bottom line is, he didn't have to have a cake sale. He did not have a rummage sale. He didn't do any of those things. Why? Because he loved his Father with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, with all of his strength, with everything that was in him, he loved him. And when people would say, you're crazy, he would go, get out of my way. Now, folks, we got to get to the point to where in these last days, when our love, like I'm telling you here, called crazy love. When you start reading books like this and start walking this stuff out, people are going to tell you you're crazy. This man had a $5,000-$6,000 square foot home. He sold it and got a 2,000 square foot home because he said, I don't need that. I only got it so I could depress you. God got a hold of his heart and he says, I don't need those things anymore. I'm in love with him. Take this money and give it to the gospel. His church grew so fast. He was in a church that seated 2,000 people. And he said, you know what, God? Who said we have to meet in the building? Good question. He wanted to meet out in the amphitheater. But the laws in this city would not permit it. But he says, why do we do things in the church traditionally? Why do we do things traditionally? Here at Dominion Training Center, we're not a traditional meeting place. We don't meet and talk about things like people meet and talk about things. We're here to understand and love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul. We're trying to understand, God, how do we go to the next level in you? Challenge us, God, this year. Help us, make us, encourage us to go to another level in you. Why? That's where he wants us. Doesn't want to sit and go, well, I guess everything is good, man. I prayed in tongues every day last year. I fasted, I don't know how many times. God, you got to be pleased with me. You know what God's going to tell you? Thou fool. You're never going to tap out God. You're never going to reach the end of his love. And I want to challenge you right now. When we have a homosexual that walks through those doors, we're not going to go, shame on you. No, we're not going to do that. Amen. We're going to set them down in the front row. We're going to love on them. We're not going to convert them. We're not going to preach at them and tell them how wrong they are with their sin. We're going to love on them. Why? That's what's wrong with the world today. We're too phony. We want everybody to be like us. No, we want them to be like Christ, and I want you to be like Christ. I don't want you to be like Elvin. No way, Jose. You don't want to be me at all. You don't need another one of them. I was messed up enough. He don't want another one. He don't need another one. He don't need another Robert. He needs a Robert that's Christ-like. That's the Robert that he needs. Amen. And the Robert that he's going to make when Robert spends time with him and starts loving on him, that Robert would see that homosexual come in and go, you know what? You're welcome here. What can we do for you? How can we pray with you? We're going to treat them like anybody else. Look to your right and look to your left. You'll see different nationalities in this room. You'll see different people from different backgrounds. Why is that so? Because people are no longer in 2017, the racism car is going to die, folks. And you African-Americans, you're going to get beyond the N-word. It's going to get so far past you, when they call you the N-word, you're going to go, who is they talking to? That's when you know you're getting free. Amen. That's when you know you're walking in the love of God. No matter what they call you, you're still good. The thing is, in the church, if they call us holy rollers, they call us these weird names, we get insulted and think, oh, I'm not acceptable. I don't want to be accepted by them. All I want to be accepted by is God. I want God to say, that's my son. That's what I want. And that's what you should want. That's what you ought to exchange for. That's what you ought to strive for. But you're not going to get there trying to get God to do things for you. Your posture has got to be, I got to love him first. See, many people don't understand. Elvin, why do you pray in tongues so much? It's because I've learned to love him. Now, I didn't start there, but that's where I started. And I started it with an hour a day. And an hour a day, I'd do something, fall asleep, wake up, pray some more, fall asleep. What's up, preacher? Wake up, fall asleep, wake up, fall asleep. Why? Because I was learning how to love him. And that was okay. When we come to God and we are sick and we want to be healed and we're coming to God to be healed, that's okay. But you don't stay there. If you come to God, you got a financial need, and you're saying, God, help me with my need. God, help me get a job. God, help me get my family back together. That's okay, but you don't stay there. Amen. Because that's what got you there in the first place. You begin to say, he's more important than my family. He's more important than my job. He's more important than my career. He's more important than anything on the earth. He is the most important thing that I have.
Amen.
If I'm out on the street living under a bridge, if I can get up in the morning and go, I give you praise, I give you glory, I give you honor, I'm the richest man in the world because I have God. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to be on that bridge very long because I've never seen the righteous forsaken or received begging bread. You ain't going to be on that bridge very long. You start worshiping God like that, you're coming out. Why? Because you begin to love him. And when you begin to connect with him, all of a sudden the stuff that got you under that bridge begins to fall off. Amen. Man, I'm just going to preach it now. Woo! I ain't teaching anymore. I'm preaching now. I'm going to get back on my message here, okay?
Praise the Lord.
But we want to serve God because we love him. I see so many people at churches and they'll come and they'll say, well, I want to volunteer here and I want to volunteer there and I want to do this. And they think, this is how I can make God pleased with me. Mm-hmm. Wrong.
Amen.
You get God to be pleased with you. First of all, he's pleased with you because you've chosen his son. He's pleased with you.
Amen.
But he wants you to fall in love with him.
Amen.
To the degree that no matter what the devil does, you'll continue to serve him because you love him and not because you want to have a badge on or you want a status in the building or an organization. You love him because you're serving because you love him. Now, last week I mentioned, boy, I preached a whole bunch, didn't I? Preached myself out of my time. Let me get down here to First John. Now, here's how we know that this love is in us. In assimilating the book of First John, we can clearly see that John interchanges the new nature with the love of God. How many have assimilated the book of 1 John? If you read the book, I challenge you. Read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John 50 times. Not in one setting, but just over a period of time. In other words, instead of reading, you know, 5 chapters in the old and 5 chapters in the new or whatever that plan is, read the book of James for one solid period of time. I'm saying over a month or two. Read the same book. Read those 3 books 50 times. Quit trying to decipher a revelation out of it. Just read the book. If you find a word you don't understand, go look it up. Quit trying to get a revelation. That's your Holy Ghost's job. Your job is not to figure out what he was telling Paul or telling John. His job is to get you. He's trying to get you just to digest the books and get it on the inside of you. And then all of a sudden, you're sitting there at night. You're laying in bed. And he goes, hey, I'm ready to show you something. And he begins to show you the outline in those books. But if you'll do that in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, you'll find the theme there is love. You'll find that your new nature is synonymous with love. And what you'll find out is you've been built to love. And I heard a pastor say very recently, I think it's Pastor Juan, when you don't know the purpose of a thing, you'll what? You'll abuse it. You were built for love. You were built to love God and love others. Now I'm going to bust your bubble. And not yourself. Ouch! Well, Pastor, if I don't love me, who's going to love me? God. I'm glad you asked me. What's up, preacher? God's going to love you. You don't have to worry about loving you. What you got to learn is you got to begin to understand the love of God and what it means to you. You got to get so far into his presence that you begin to know he really, really loves me. Now, if God loves you, will he protect you?
Yes.
Will he provide for you?
Yes.
You got to fall in love with him.
Amen.
Now, when John says, or when Jesus says to love your neighbor as yourself, he is simply saying this. If I claim to love God, but I don't like my neighbor, I really don't love God. And you know what I'm telling you? You're going to pick up your stones here in a minute, but that's okay. Many of us, we just have a good dose of religion. We don't have love. And just realize that's where you're at. I realize it's not easy to love the guy on the corner that smells all bad. It ain't easy to love him. I get that. But God understands where you're at. But if you'll keep coming further and further into him, he'll begin to show you how to love that person. Listen, this the other night, he was teaching me how to love on somebody that had hated me for the past 10 years. And I'm going, you really want me to start this? He goes, I really do. I'm going, but that. He says, no, but they, it's you and me. Do you love me? I knew you were setting me up with this message for a reason. Yeah, I love you. Well, then that's what you're going to do. Then he started telling me this. He says, now, son, I'm not asking you to do it in your strength. You'll do it in my strength. And then I went, and then I used to see my mind. My mind was going, well, how am I going to work this out? He says, slow down. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm just asking you to be willing. And if you're willing, I'll set the whole thing up. I'll make it work. You just be willing. Now, when you learn that, that is the love of God.
Amen.
I had a man the other day, he said, me and my wife got into a little tiff. We were going into church. He said, and something happened in the car. And said, so we're walking into church, and she's mad, I'm mad. But we're going to get in church, and we're going to go, hallelujah, Jesus, I hate you. Praise the Lord, I don't love you. I said, so what was that? He said, well, that was the Lord dealing with me and telling me that I was wrong. I said, yeah. He says, but I first want to tell her what she was wrong. But he wouldn't hear that. So he just, before he got to the door, he just said, honey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. And the whole thing just broke open. What was that? The love of God came up in his heart. This stuff happens all the time. But you have to recognize that that's the Holy Ghost speaking to you, trying to get you to walk in love. These things will happen more readily than you realize. But the thing is just when you're loving yourself more than you love God, when you hear that, you go, no, I can't do that. You know why you say that? Because you got so much pride. You can't love God and have pride.
That's right.
To love God, you're going to be humble.
Amen.
He's going to humble you.
Amen.
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 I understand this is tough, but this is where we're going. The church has to go to another level.
Amen.
The Jesus says they'll know, you'll know them by their
love.
If the world came by and saw us, would they see Jesus? Let me rephrase that. Would they see the love of God in you? I watched a movie recently, and this guy came to this town and he was out of work. And he was sick. Deathly sick. And he went to everybody, the pastor, the leading people in the community, and asked him for, he says, I don't want you to give me anything. I want to work for it. They said, get away. We don't want anything to do with you. So the guy walked up in the church on Sunday morning. And he sat there and listened to the pastor preach about love. And he, after the pastor was done, he got up and walked up front and says, y'all talk about love, but what did you do with me this past week? And the guy fell dead in their church. No, the homeless guy. So my question to you is this. Where's the church? To me, it looked just like the church to me. Well, Pastor, you have to understand that they just look bad. I wonder how you looked to God when you first came to him. I wonder how you looked. I wonder how you smelled. I wonder what your love was like. I wonder what you just come out of when he got a hold of you. I wonder if he went, gosh, your diaper stinks. Oh, you one smelly child. No, he didn't do that. You know what he did with you? He picked you up and he put you in his bosom and said, I love you.
Amen.
Dirt, mess, and all.
Amen.
I love you just the way you are.
That's right.
Now, here's the thing is his love was so powerful, he didn't want to leave you where you were. And so he began to teach you about himself to get you to love him first, and then you will love others. Let me go on so I can close out here. One more thing about love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not take into us wrong suffered, love envious not, and so on and so forth. And as I said earlier, what most Christians try to do is take that chapter and begin to say, I'm going to do these things. Here's where you get in trouble. Those 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is just the character of love. It's what you see in a person that's walking in love. For example, if my wife gets on my case about something that I ain't done or should do or whatever, and I walk around going, man, that woman, I don't understand. Man, I get up and go to work every day. Man, you know, I do all this. What is wrong with her? See, you know what I'm just doing there? I'm taking into account a wrong done. That's not the characteristic of love. Instead, what I should be doing is, God, help me get that done if it's something that needs to be done. And if it needs to be done, show me how to get it done. What's the difference? The difference is where you're headed is what your proclivity is, where you're leaning toward. See, the other way, I'm leaning toward anger. I'm leaning toward unforgiveness. I'm leaning toward selfishness. But when I ask God, what does he think and how should I do it? I'm opening myself up and saying, if there's any fault in me, show me what it is. Let me get rid of it so I can be a better person. And then I can learn to love this woman as you love her. Because I know, I don't know why, but you love her. I'm kidding. I should have said that. But that's what you say in your mind. You say those things. I don't know why you love that person the way you love them. I don't see how you do that, God. You know how God does it? Because he has a different kind of love than you have. He has agape love. You have phileo love. And you have to understand the difference. And you have to understand he will give you, he'll give you agape love as long as you'll let go of the phileo love. He'll give you that. So in closing, how am I going to do all of these things? Let me tell you how. Let me give you some suggestions of what I would do if I were you. If you're having trouble loving someone, rest assured the Holy Spirit will help you change. But first thing, everybody say first thing.
First thing.
Be determined to spend many hours praying in tongues and in private worship. Now see, it's real quiet in here. Because you're mulling over this. I don't like to spend that kind of time in private worship. Maybe it's because you don't love God the way you should love God. I realize I didn't like to do private worship myself. But you know why I didn't like it? Because I couldn't do it. Because whenever I start doing it, my mind would tell me, nothing is happening. You're not getting anywhere. This is useless. This isn't accomplishing anything. And then I kept worshiping him, and I broke through. And he came in the room one day and he sat down. I went, you're here. That's the problem. When you first see God come in the room, you don't know what to say. You're dumbstruck. You're like, And you know what he did? I expected him to stay for at least a half hour, hang out and kick it with me real good. You know what he did? He got up and left. And I asked him, I said, why did you leave? He says, because, son, I want you to learn something. I'm with you no matter what. And if you're depending upon whether or not you feel my presence, then you'll keep seeking my presence and not seek me. Because I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you.
Amen.
In 2017, spend time praying much in other tongues. Spend time in private worship. And as you cultivate this love nature that resides within you, you set yourself on a path that leads to everything God has provided for you as his child. His love will begin to show up in every situation you face. Every situation. Every situation. I got 4 flat tires. The love of God. He loves you. He is not going to let you stay there diminished. He loves you too much. No, he's not going to ask you to rob a bank. But if you'll continue spending time in prayer and private worship, there's an inner reservoir of agape love will ultimately lead you to a higher, more mature walk in a relationship with him and a place with him where nothing stands in the way of your love for him and for others. For as Jesus is, so are you. But you got to get there. You're not going to get there wondering why you're not there. You're going to get there when you shake yourself and get up and say, I'm going to shut everything down and I'm going in here and I'm spending time with him. Shut the world down. That's what I did. I put it on my calendar. I'm going to spend time praying in tongues from this time. And I would come home. I'm going to spend time in private worship this time. And I stuck to it like an appointment. And I wouldn't let anybody break it. Hey, can you come by? No, I got an appointment. Who with? Somebody bigger than you. He's more important than you. Yeah, but I need you. No, I need him more than you need me. I'm going to go talk to him. No, I didn't. It wasn't etched in stone. I never missed time like that. But my point is, I was rigid. I was like, I want to change. I don't want to be this way next year. I don't want to be this way in 6 months. I want to be this way in 4 months. I want to change. Change me. And I couldn't say, would you change Robert first before you change me? No, he says, I want to change you first. And then when I change you, I'll help you change Robert. I'm not picking on Robert. I'm just using it as an example. I'm saying the same thing about you. If he can change you, he'll change your spouse. He'll change your children. Amen. You know, there was a tragic story I heard this week about a guy, a young man that he got killed in a violent act. And the young man used to go to church. Why? With the church for many, many years. Well, what happened? Well, I'm not going to give a name, but I'll tell you what happened. He didn't see the stuff he saw in church. It wasn't modeled at home. All that love you're talking about at church, if your kids, grandkids, don't see that at home, they're going to call you a phony. They're going to call that stuff is nonsense. Why? You've got to walk this stuff out. Well, how are you going to walk it out in your own power? Let me give you a hint. You can't. That's why you're here tonight, because you can't. I'm not talking down to you. I'm talking up to you. I'm telling you to come on up. Amen. Why? I'm not above you, but I'm going to challenge you because there's something inside of you. There's a reservoir of love in you, and God wants you to begin to pour more and more and more into there to where one day you're pouring it out. And now going, who is this guy? He's just in love with Jesus, man. He's just in love with Jesus. Do you remember what was it in 1965, 66? What was that craze that was going on? All you older folks, help me out here. Love power. Y'all remember that? Love power. They love everybody. Oh, he just love it. Oh. And that really wasn't love, okay? Because they said, if it feels good, do it. I mean, you know, and they were doing everything. I mean, you know, drugs. It didn't matter. But I'm telling you, in 17, there's coming a love explosion in the body of Christ. Bless God. There's coming a time when Christians are going to quit walking according to how they feel and their circumstances, and they're going to begin to walk out the love of God. They're going to be in tight places, tough places, and the thing that gets them out is because they love God. Amen. And when you love God that much, he'll step in the middle of you and your enemy and say, he belongs to me. You best leave him alone. Listen. What do you think is going to happen to this nation? ISIS keeps threatening us. You start praying and loving God. God will tell ISIS, you better leave them alone. Them my kids over there. I ain't letting nothing happen to my kids. Leave them alone. But the reason why they're picking us now is because we don't pray. We don't spend time. We're not loving God. We're loving ourselves. We love our jobs. We love our houses. We love our cars. We love our status. We love all these things that we've gotten from God. And asking God for more. And God's going, now one day, you're going to realize you've gotten to the nth degree of my judgment. See, God doesn't bring destruction. But there's a point in time when God goes, listen, you've gone too far. That's what happened to the nation of Israel. That's what happened to other nations that fell. They ran out of God's mercy. And when you do that, things are going to change. Don't let it happen to this nation. Begin to pray. There's a great awakening happening in this nation. And that awakening is going to happen because people like you, the nobodies, get up every morning and go, Shandara kobre sekere. And then you get off your knees and you get full of that love that's in you and you begin to bless those that curse you. And people go, why are you doing this? Because the love of God in my heart. I love him so much I can't hate you anymore. Things will start turning around. Let me tell you something. You know the first place God's going to go in these cities? You're going to be shocked. He's going straight to the ghettos. Going straight to the ghettos, man. Why? Because all of us in the suburbs, we too proper. We got it going on. We don't need God. But them folk with the shooting and killing and robbing and drugging going on, he's going down there. And they're going to go, sure, we want to go for this ride. Come on with it, baby. Bring it on. Folks, there's going to be changes in the body of Christ in 2017. Not negative changes, positive changes. I don't want you at the end of 2017 going, nothing happened to me. And you know what I'm telling you? What I'm going to tell you? Sound like to me you didn't get full of the love of God. Because he's going to be moving, I promise you, in these churches. Amen. Amen.